Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Brothers and sisters, we're going to spend some time in the Word of God. And as we said earlier, thank you so much for being a part of our worship service today as we continue on in experiencing God. Before I preach, I do want to ask you to join me in prayer. And I do have a specific prayer request that I'm asking you to please this week pray about. Our dear brother Laz informed me that he has to have a very serious medical procedure, a series of medical procedures. And, you know, Laz is a good friend, and many of us love Laz and Imani. And I need you this week to pray for them. Please pray for them. The temptation would be to call, to text, but right now he's focused on his health. And, you know, calling and texting is a little bit overwhelming. But if we could just pray for him as brothers and sisters, he would greatly appreciate it. So I'm going to say a prayer for our brother Lass, and then pray for our sermon, and we will get started. Heavenly Father and God, we come before you right now, God, and in the midst of this series of experiencing you, we pray for our brother Lass, dear God. We pray that you will be with the doctors, be with the nurses, God, be with all those who are taking care of him, God. We pray for healing in his body. We pray, dear God, for miraculous events to occur. We pray, dear God, that he will experience your love, your grace, and your mercy during this difficult time. We also pray for Imani, dear God. We love them so much, and we want them to be comforted in ways that only you can comfort them. We pray for this sermon, dear God, that it will make sense, it will inspire each and every one of us to look to you, God, as our ultimate hope, our ultimate refuge. And we ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen. As we continue on in experiencing God and really his love for us, the way we can experience God's love is understanding he is our refuge. That we go through a lot of different challenges in life, but ultimately he is our refuge. You know, a few years back, John Mayer wrote a song that describes how sometimes we as disciples, as believers, as Christians can feel. You know, the song goes, "Me and all my friends, we are all misunderstood. They say we stand for nothing, and there's no way we ever could. Now we see everything that's going on with the world and those who lead it. We just feel like we don't have the means to rise above and beat it. That's why we're waiting. We're waiting on the world to change. We keep on waiting. Waiting on the world to change. It's not that we don't care. We just know that the fight ain't fair. So we keep on waiting, waiting on the world to change." I understand that feeling. I understand those lyrics. At some point the other week, it just connected with my soul. I feel like that sometimes as a Christian. You know, those feelings of, in a sense, negative about Christianity, because we got a lot of internal issues. We are dealing with some serious stuff, and Satan has tried so hard to divide God's church. Satan's mission is to destroy what God is doing, and there's so many minor issues that become major. We're going to split the church. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We don't like you. You're on that side. I'm on that side. And then we look at some of the fundamentalists, how they represent Christianity, and some of the evangelicals, and should women preach, should black and white issues, and we are just saying we got a lot of problems. We got a lot of shortcomings, and in my heart, I've started to wonder, can we really make a difference? And I know I'm not the only one who wrestles with that. And as a result of that, we feel that we need the right leaders in place to make our society better. So we put our hopes, we put our dreams in the right person to champion the cause of righteousness, and we keep waiting for he or she to change the world. Now, the one I have been guilty of is that sometimes I just feel like we don't have the means, we don't have the resources to make the changes you want to see. So, you know, I can just keep waiting on the world to change. I was in a meeting a couple of weeks back with a group of pastors and a very prominent person, one of the most prominent people in this nation. God just, that's how I experience God. I'm sitting in a room with someone I've seen on television. And we're talking about society and we're talking about what needs to change. And, you know, all of us come from a religious background and it doesn't take long for us as religious people to get critical about the sin that we see in the world. And in the midst of the conversation, it hit me. I raised my hand. I said, we got to see this. We are upset with the world for doing what it does best, being the world. Maybe we need to reposition this conversation and talk about what we as believers, as people of the light, need to do better. You know, in experiencing God, Angel reminded us a couple of weeks back, the Son of God is the most powerful force in the universe. And the question I have to ask myself, and I want you to ask, is that power reflected in our daily lives? We serve the Son of God, the most powerful being in the universe. Everything centers around Jesus. Is that reflected in our daily lives? You know, a couple of weeks ago, I felt very discouraged and despondent with all the racism, the injustice in this country. And it's just like I was sinking into a deeper and deeper emotional pit. And I called up a couple of brothers. I said, hey, man, I need you to pray for me, man. This is hard. I need some encouragement. I even met with one of the guys, good friend of mine named Jim Lenahan and good friend of mine, Nick Stonestreet. And they pointed me back to God. We need those friends who point us back to God. And, you know, I had to take it to God in prayer, but this is how God works. You know, sometimes when we're just trying to escape and, you know, we just want to veg and we just want to chill and we don't want to deal with the news. I hadn't watched the news in a little bit. I'm just taking a break. So I'm just watching this television show. And in this show, the fireman had Psalm 31 tattooed over his hand. And then he goes ahead and tells a story about how he met his wife. And I say, well, let me read Psalm 31. And I'm like, wow, God is speaking to me through Psalm 31 on a TV show. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me. For you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. The word refuge is used several times. A refuge is defined as a shelter or protection from danger and distress. Taking refuge is like finding a safe place during a storm or getting comfort in time of trouble. I was convicted. Psalm 31 has become a new go-to psalm for me. Because in the first 8 verses, we see God is identified as a refuge. In verse 2, David describes the Lord as a rock of refuge, as a mountain fortress. In verse 3, David describes God as my rock and my fortress. David, a prophet of God, who had incredible highs and who had lows. But what did he say? God is my refuge. God is my fortress. In earlier times, in ancient civilization, the best place to build a city would have been on a mountain. And if you go to the book of Obadiah chapter 3, in the book of Obadiah, the Edomites are bragging because they have built their cities in the mountains, in a cliff. And they say, you know what? No one can destroy us. Because as people are trying to traverse up the mountain to attack them, they have the advantage and they cannot be conquered. You know what God is saying? God says about himself, he is a mountain. Numerous times in the scriptures, God refers himself as a mountain, that he's huge, he's massive, he's majestic, he's ever standing, he's unmovable. Is that how we see our God? Let me take a moment here. To those of us who claim to be believers, how are we doing with our experience of God? Is he our refuge? You know, the second verse in that song, now if we had the power to bring our neighbors home from war, they would have never missed a Christmas, no ribbons on the door. But when you trust your television, what you get is what you got. Because when they own the information, oh, they can bend it all they want. Are we trusting TV more than we trust God? Are we allowing the bad news, the negative news, to trump the good news? Notice what David said in verse 5, a pivotal statement. Into your hand I commit my spirit. Think about what David was saying. In the midst of trouble, in the midst of difficulty, he said, I can trust you, God. I know you got this. Brothers and sisters, do we trust God in the midst of hardship, in the midst of difficulty? What if the verdict hadn't gone our way? For those of you who are hoping and praying for justice, what if it hadn't gone the way we had anticipated or prayed for? Would we still be trusting God? In the midst of the enemies, in the midst of the affliction, David said, I commit my spirit. Where's our commitment today? I'm afraid some of us, we keep waiting. We keep waiting for the world to change. We just keep on waiting. Waiting for the world to change, waiting for the world to get better, waiting for the world to do, to encourage us, to be fair, to be righteous, to be just. And we just keep on waiting, waiting on the world to change. See, what's beautiful for those of us who are disciples, today is a great day to repent. And that's what I had to do a couple of weeks back. I had to take my focus that was looking at the world and say, God is bigger than the world. God is greater than the world. In Psalm 31, God is my refuge. Yes, there's injustice, there's unfairness, there's bias, there's discrimination, there's hate, rage, rape, murder, and all that stuff exists. It's the world. But I had to recommit my spirit. God is in your hands. My future is in your hands. My dreams, my goals, my passion. God, I just need to trust that you're going to work it out. In Luke chapter 23, verse 46, we read about Jesus. And we're getting ready to take communion right now. Here Jesus is. He has spent 3 years of his life preaching and preaching and preaching and healing and serving and loving. And his reward was crucifixion. There he is hanging on the cross. Now, what would you have prayed? Here you are about to die. You've given 3 years of your life to people who don't appreciate it. And notice what Jesus said. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Now, I'm sure the Jews were like, what? You're going to die, man? I'm sure people mocked him, laughed at him. You wasted your time, Jesus. Because the world is still a crazy place. But guess who got the laugh? Guess who got the last laugh? When Jesus came up out of that grave and went and got those brothers and sisters and say, go preach the word. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. You're going to change the world. And they no longer stood there waiting on the world to change. They changed their world. Those early brothers and sisters changed their world. And I believe that happened because Jesus set the ultimate example when he said, Into your hands I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. The Roman Empire is gone. Church is still here. People today name their children James, Peter, John. Nero? You can give that to a dog. That's a dog named Nero. What am I saying? What looked to be winning, lost. What looked as a loss was an amazing win. To my brothers and sisters, put your hope, your trust in God. He is our refuge. He is our refuge. If you're visiting with us today, what's your refuge? What's his name? What's her name? Is it a job? They'll let you go tomorrow. Is it drugs? Is it alcohol? Is it sex? Where do you go for your refuge? And I want to encourage you to spend some time this week reading the Word of God to look for your ultimate refuge. Let's pray for our communion. Father and God, we come before you right now. And Lord, we thank you so much. Oh God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for example. We thank you for his life. We thank you for his death. We thank you most of all for the resurrection. And it gives us hope that our lives can be resurrected no matter where they are, no matter how we struggled as a Christian, no matter what we have been discouraged about, God, that our lives can be resurrected. And we don't have to stand around waiting for the world to change because we know you're going to change it. God, we pray for this bread that represents the body that was broken. God, we pray for the fruit of the vine that represents the blood that was shed. And we ask you be with us during this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.